Hey everybody and welcome. This is Donovan Bankhead with Springfield Music, and I appreciate you dropping in and listening to the podcast. With the Bow Better Bands podcast, my intention is to talk with our fellow educators across the state and share some of their best tips, tricks, and best practices. Also, maybe even share some of the things that they're struggling with so that we can help each other out, because we're all dealing with so many of the same issues in your programs. And us, as your school music dealer, want to try to be a resource to help you solve some of these challenges and issues. So anyway, we always appreciate you listening. And if you have ideas or tips or would like to be featured on the podcast, reach out to me and let me know. Donovan@springfield-music.com. All right, let's jump in.
Thanks for listening to the Mo Better Bands podcast. If you have something to share, click the links in the show notes of your podcast app and leave us a message. Or email me directly at Donovan@springfieldmusic.com. That's Donovan @springfieldmusic.com. If you'd like to be a guest, would like to recommend a guest or a topic, shoot me a line. Thanks again for listening.
Well, today on Mo Better Bands podcast, we have another terrific guest, Troy Peterson. Troy Peterson is now the director of bands, marching band director. We'll get his official title later on for Drury University here in Springfield, Missouri. But before that, I think he was most well known as being my oldest son's high school band director at Kickapoo High School. And I don't think you're well known for being my son's band director, but I think maybe your celebrity came before that. So Troy, welcome to the Mo Better Bands podcast. Really excited to have you here.
Really delighted to be here today, Donovan. Thank you for inviting me. Yes, your son was a wonderful trombone baritone player in the band. Loved him being in the band for sure.
Oh, well, thank you. I know he really enjoyed it. You know, what was so funny, and I'm sure I've shared the story with you before, but right before he went to high school, my wife and I were moving, and we wanted to make sure that we stayed in the district that he had gone through all of his educational career, which was actually a different Springfield high school. And so we find this house that we're in and move, and then he decides the next year, he's like, I'm just going to transfer to Kickapoo because I wanted their band. I like their band program better. So all that effort for us to stay in the district, he's like, I'm going to Kickapoo. And we just feel really fortunate that he was able to be there during your last few years there. And you guys just gave him such a tremendous experience. And I think one of the reasons he chose it is he felt like the Kickapoo program was the program most like the program that his mom and dad went through, with Belinda being an Owosso, Oklahoma graduate, me being a Tulsa Union graduate. He felt like it was the one that was most relatable to that. And he wanted to be able to have the experiences like what his parents had, you know? So anyway, we're just really grateful for you and for that experience.
Well, thank you. It's nice to know that he felt appreciated, and we did appreciate him for sure.
Yeah, that's great. So this is going to be really interesting because there's a few things that we want to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the challenges that we've seen through the pandemic, but we're going to speak a little more broadly about your career at Kickapoo specifically and some of the challenges of working in a large district. I've heard that the Springfield District is the largest school district in the state. I'm not sure if that's still correct or not, but it's still a very, very large district. And there's, of course, some pluses and minuses to working in a district like that. And then we're also going to talk about your new role at Drury University, which is really exciting to see what's all the changes that are happening at Drury. But let's start first with talking about the teaching at a large district like Springfield. And for just in case people don't know, Springfield has 4 different high schools, and correct me if any of these things are wrong.
Five
different high schools. See, I'm already wrong. I live here and I don't even know. So 5 different high schools. How many middle schools?
Twice as many almost. I think it's almost twice as many.
Yeah. And then countless elementary schools. Yes. And our musical education essentially starts with 5th grade strings. That starts in elementary schools. And then our band programs begin in 6th grade, which is the middle schools. And all of those high schools and middle schools, those feeders, aren't directly connected to one another. So sometimes we'll have a middle school that will feed 2 separate high schools, depending on where the students live. And then also our high school directors and middle school directors often don't mix. They don't like go up to one other building to support each other, which is just fraught of challenges and difficulties. So kind of talk to us a little bit about, maybe let's back up to when you first started to Kickapoo and some of those changes about that you've kind of noticed through the years.
Yeah, my first year at Kickapoo was the fall of 1992. And I was actually taught halftime at Cherokee Middle School and halftime at Kickapoo High School. And that was back when we were on a 6-period day. And so half my day was spent with the 7th and 8th grade band over at Cherokee. And then the rest of the day was, we had an intermediate freshman band and marching band, concert band, basically at Kickapoo. And that was the first 3 or 4 years that I was at Kickapoo. That was the case. The wonderful thing about that was I had great assistants at Cherokee that would come over and actually be assistants at Kickapoo at the same time, which was wonderful because that really helped the feeder program. You know, the first year, you know, there was a learning curve, obviously, 92, 93, but that next year, 93, 94, 94, 95, those years we brought almost every one of those middle school kids over. So that's truly a testament to the high school directors that are connected with mm-hmm. their middle school program. When I lost that and became a teacher just at Kickapoo during the 4-block years, which it's still the 4-block now, that connection was broken a little bit. I still have a little bit of assistance from the middle school directors, but as their programs continue to grow and get bigger and bigger at Cherokee and Carver, that changed. And so we were always, I've had maybe 5 assistants in my lifetime. And those assistants basically came from the middle school. And then the last one that I had, Jordan Nemo, was just incredible. And we called ourselves the dream team for a reason, because just we all worked together so well in making great decisions, I think, for the band program itself. Sherry Peterson, my wife, also just an incredible educator and dealing with students. And we had some great bands. I mean, that last year that before COVID, we had 257 on paper and we ended up marching 235 that year. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of success over the years, and I'm really proud of what we've accomplished.
Well, you should be. I mean, it was certainly a really fine program over all those years. And, you know, in a situation that over the course of your career, I think became more and more challenging. I mean, competition, when we try to do competitive marching, especially, that's always tough. There's always a lot of great bands out there. But over the years, the SPS district, I feel like some of the policies they put in place just made it harder to do. And like we had alluded to, a lot of successful programs, there's an integration from beginning band through graduation with directors. And the SPS district over the years, they've become more and more siloed, where now they're basically 100% siloed. There's very little integration from a middle school director to high school and vice versa. And so a lot of times the middle school directors don't see the challenges that the high school directors are facing and what they need. The high school directors aren't getting in to assist the middle school directors. So you just have these independent schools, basically, that aren't really cooperating as well as they could to get the desired outcome for what they're looking for. Still good programs. I'm not trying to say that they're not good programs, but I think that there's a lot, the communication's much more difficult between high school, middle school, and I think the consistent results are more difficult to achieve as well.
I would totally agree. Again, the communication up till COVID was, you know, we'd meet a couple of times a year. That was pretty much it. You know, you call your friend on the phone and or go over and visit the middle school, you know, as many times as you could. I always conducted the Christmas concert sleigh ride with Cherokee. So there was still a connection, but, you know, the limited communication. Once COVID hit, though, all of a sudden we were all on Zoom all the time. So we had, you know, weekly meetings. And I think that actually blossomed even this last year a little bit more. I'm sure they're still doing it. I hope they're still doing it. Because the Zoom aspect of getting together, you know, at a certain time every other week or whatever, I think is really beneficial. And I wish we could have done that when I was still there at Kickapoo.
They did that for a little while, but then I think everyone started getting zoomed out in that second semester, because I also got to participate in a lot of those meetings, not necessarily by choice, but because my wife is a director in this district. Right. She would be on them and I would just be sitting next to her or sitting in the living room or whatever, I would hear them. And you're right, in the beginning, there was a lot of this kind of cooperation, coordination, and I think everybody really enjoyed getting to see and hear from each other. But a year and a half of that's too much.
Absolutely.
They all started losing interest in it eventually.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, maybe someday our district will change those policies and get our directors to get to work with each other again through the buildings. And you mentioned that you had a good team those last several years at Kickapoo, and you don't build a program with the quality that Kickapoo had off of the back of one person. It really does take a team of committed people and support from administration and support from boosters. And I think you'd always done a good job of kind of building allies and relationships with those people around. And that can sometimes be difficult to do in a big district like Springfield. Can you share any thoughts or why you feel like you were so successful in both recruiting talent to come work with you and then also building those relationships with parents and administrators?
Well, number one, I think you have to start with a philosophy of what your culture of your band's going to be. And I think the thing that really engaged our students was we started going to the BOA Summer Symposium. We did the Khan Institute. We did a whole bunch of things to elevate our level of understanding why these other programs are so successful. We have a big toolbox of tools. When we graduate from college, our toolbox is loaded with tools. The problem is we don't know what all the tools do and trying to figure out, okay, I've got this tool, but until you actually see it implemented, you really don't know. I mean, we just keep putting tools in there and we've never organized the toolbox, basically. And so we started going to those kind of conventions and even MBA, even MMEA, all of these events are so important. And again, our culture right now is we're doing things like this a lot more. I find myself watching a lot of videos. Scott Lang, and when he pops something up, I'll usually sit down and watch it. There's just a lot of resources out there. But I think going and connecting with other directors and figuring out how to develop your program is probably the most important thing you do, so you can start using all the tools. But again, the biggest thing that I think about Kickapoo was we started with that culture, and that culture just kept getting more refined so that the kids were all part of the team. And as we developed our philosophy, we expanded that to recruiting, making sure that our kids went over to the middle schools. Our culture, again, was the impetus of really driving the Kickapoo band and making it super successful. And I think as we developed the band program as a whole, my philosophy was there wasn't going to be, the marching band was going to be the most important thing. The jazz band wasn't going to be the most important thing. The drum line, the color guard. I've from day one have always said that we're going to have a program that is strong in everything that we do. Does that mean we overachieved in one area some years? Yes, that just naturally would happen. But for the most part, we were always trying to make every single part of our program as successful as possible. Recruitment becomes a big part of that too. Getting the kids out, they feel like they have total ownership in the program, understanding what the show, what the concert band is doing, and what they're doing for each other. And especially the older kids, by the time they're older, they know it all for the most part. They do have all the tools and they just want to share that love that they have with kids at the middle schools. That usually brings a lot of kids over, especially with our drum line. Our color guard would always go over to Cherokee and do a spring or pre-spring break performance. And just from that one event, we would capture all those kids that were sitting on the fence or hadn't signed up, but all of a sudden we started getting those kids just from that one experience, lighting up a young musician's life in music. I mean, I know for me, I went to a Maynard Ferguson concert, and after that, I was going to be a Maynard Ferguson trumpet player. And it was just that one moment when I was a little boy that changed my whole, you know, outlook on my path of where I ended up. So with the boosters, you know, using our boosters, that just all came into place too. We did do a lot of newsletters. They are so important in everything that we do. I wish we would have done more. Again, there's so many things at Kickapoo that I wish we could have done, but the manpower was never what I considered ideal in the current marching band world, at least.
Yeah, you look at what a lot of those programs that are, you know, when we look at marching band, we have kind of different levels of engagement and maybe intensity. I don't know what the word you want to put into that, whether you're going to be competitive or not. And then even if you're going to be competitive, what type of competitive circuit you're going to be on. But certainly when you get into that upper echelon of trying to compete at the BOA level, you look at those other programs that are in there, and the funding and most importantly, the staffing is pretty heady. There's a lot of staff, especially when you get to these top 12 type bands. There's an enormous amount of staff, and they're all, to my knowledge, all integrated from beginning band through graduation, but just tremendous permanent staff, tremendous technical staff, tremendous temporary staff. And as someone who was a parent and a treasurer for Kickapoo for several years, that was something I was always amazed by, is how is it that we're putting together the quality that we're putting on the field with like a few staff members? Like we have, you know, probably 2.5, because Sherry wasn't there really as, I mean, she was teaching history. What main class does Sherry teach? I forgot now.
She is the social studies department chair.
Yeah.
And she had also run the color guard for, actually, before she left Kickapoo. I believe she was already a section leader and then kept coming back to Kickapoo while she was at Missouri State getting her undergrad degree in basically history. Yeah, she is the design genius for a lot of the craziness. Whoever thought that we could take a show about baking and putting it on a field.
I mean, well, but the point, like, she wasn't full-time band staff, and even Jordan wasn't either, because he was also he had choral duties and things like that as well. And so to put all that together at the level of success that you all had with this, and then you would bring in some additional temporary staff to help out to tech and stuff like that, was really just tremendous. And from a parent's perspective, I felt like what I could see from the outside was that there was a real clear communication of vision. And I'm sure you did this a lot with the students, but obviously I didn't see that as much. But I did see it during the band parent booster meetings, always talking about what our goals are, what your vision was for the ensemble. And I think you guys just did such a nice job with that in the beginning that probably is what helps to, you know, when people, you put a vision out there, other people can choose to either be a part of that or not. But they at least know what it is that you're doing. Here's what we want to do. This is what we're trying to be, what we're trying to achieve. And people can go, that sounds great. I'd love to do that and join. Or they could say, that's not for me. But you guys just did a really nice job with that. And I think something that directors could, if they're not intentionally doing that, could probably be more proactive in making sure that they have a clear vision of what they're trying to achieve with their program, and that they're putting that vision forth and communicating it with people so that they can pick up allies as they go along.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think finding your vision is the hard part, and it's a moving target. Every year is a little bit different, and especially with the parents, making sure that they understand that we're trying to be very broad in music, that every kid has an opportunity to be successful, you know, whether it's a freshman last chair trumpet player all the way up to the first chair all-state trumpet player in the advanced band. You want to make sure that you're trying to balance everything and making them all feel a part. And we always used alternates, and I called them shadows more than alternates. I know some schools will not let their alternates march. Now, I will say that we did have some alternates that, you know, would cause a safety issue. Was more, I mean, they would fall over or something. But for the most part, I wanted everybody to have an opportunity to perform with the Kickapoo band. And whether that was a Friday night or, The hardest show is always the prelim show and a prelim final show. Mm-hmm. And then let that kid march the final show. It might not be as clean, but that was kind of my thinking and my philosophy, you know, with dealing with kids that weren't as successful. But I wanted them to have that same opportunity because I know their hearts were in it or they wouldn't have been there. You know, the amount of time and dedication that kids give to do this activity of marching band or concert band or jazz band, drumline, you know, it's just an immense amount of time.
Well, and like I said, I think you just did such a great job with that. And from my experience and opinion, I think that's why you're able to pull the support that you're able to get and bring the staff together that you're able to bring with just people buying into that vision. And that's something that all of us can do. And you're right. Like your vision should change over time. You know, the vision, if someone's listening to this, who's a newly minted educator, getting ready to start their first year or just finishing their first year, you know, you probably won't end your career with the same vision. You know, we hope that through experience and maturity that maybe you'll, you know, things will change and desires will change, but certainly clarifying and knowing what you're trying to achieve, where you're trying to go, such a critical part. You had mentioned a couple of other ensembles, and it's funny, as Belinda overheard that I was talking to you, she sends me questions occasionally. She's like, oh, hey, you should ask him about young directors that want to start getting involved with a lot of the winter circuit. And you guys did such a good job with that, and you're even kind of doing some of that now at Drury. Any advice that you'd give for people who want to get, you know, involved in that indoor drumline and you know, the WGL, just any of those other types of off-season activities?
Yeah, I think that the winter activities are so valuable to what we did at Kickapoo, and that changed our path and where we were going immediately. The drumline, for instance, as we started becoming more and more competitive, that transferred to the fall. That transferred mm-hmm. to the concert band, that transferred to the jazz band. It wasn't, and we had a lot of wind players involved. I know everybody thinks, oh, how would I ever do a winter percussion? And, you know, it's amazing how trumpet players can play bass drum, right? Or you find out that they are keyboard players, a piano player, and all of a sudden you give them a set of mallets and teach them the fundamentals, how important that feels to them. It's a new sense of learning for them. And anytime a student is learning something, they feel like they're accomplishing. And I think that's what we were able to accomplish. And all the staff that we had just was incredible about teaching the fundamentals, getting that person so they feel successful. And then they would automatically, there's the culture. It's set, mm-hmm. you know, and year after year, that was so powerful. And it made those students move on. And I can think about all the students that I've had that are now in music in some way that are very successful. And I'm really proud of that as well. As far as the young director, you need to reach out to me or anybody that's doing the activity right now, whether it's Color Guard, if you don't have a jazz band, you know, start an after school jazz band. You'll find that kids will all of a sudden, you know, they hear jazz in the hall after school or early in the morning, they'll want to be a part of it. It's there's so many unique aspects to what we do, and just finding something, you know, if you've got a group of kids that wants to do a Misha solo, and I see a lot of opportunities for that as well. And I don't think all young directors really try to do that, especially with their percussion. I think they get left behind a lot of times because, again, it's overwhelming if they're not a percussionist.
Well, and the other thing that's so great about our industry is the cooperation amongst other teachers. And even though we're doing something that's competitive, whether it's indoor drumline or whether it's marching band or whatever, I think, you know, people will find that other educators are happy to share what they're doing and to give advice on how to get started. At least that's been my experience. So even if it's competitive, if someone was to come up and say, hey, I want to start this in my school, do you have any advice? I think almost every educator I know would be happy to share, you know, some recommendations and let people observe rehearsals and see that kind of stuff for someone who's trying to get started.
Yeah,
agree or disagree? True. You're smiling. So you're either smiling because it's right, or you're smiling because you're like, no.
No, I was trying to You know, I don't think I've ever had a phone call from a newer director and not said, hey, let me come over and help, or, you know, let's talk through it, or let's go have a beer, you know, because the more ideas that you share with and the more ideas that you hear, the more things that you can figure out how to do. Again, I use that toolbox analogy just again and again. It's just, we have all these skills, but getting them all to work in the right order
right.
is the challenge. And sometimes just sharing and figuring out, you know, and every high school is different. There's no, you know, school system that has the same, okay, this is what this school's doing. You know, even you go down to Texas where they're all very successful bands, and there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of independence on how they're running things. And, you know, here in Missouri, where we have a number of small band programs, and that young director is doing not just the band, but usually the choir or, you know, a general music class, talk about challenges. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just a matter of develop your culture, develop what your vision's going to be. And I think those are the first big steps that you have to take as a young band director. And again, reach out, go talk to the university directors, reach out to older band directors. I'm always available. I love, you know, coming out and meeting students and talking to directors and helping them. I've had the best time since I've retired from Kickapoo being able to do that. Now, even in COVID, I was able to find enough schools to keep me busy and occupied and in touch with what was really going on in our band world, in the high school setting and middle school setting. So again, reach out to people you know.
Yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point that I don't know that every educator knows this, but, you know, these collegiate music educators, part of their responsibilities are to get out into the field and work with schools. And they want to, of course, assist and help, but it's also a great recruitment tool for them as well. Cause like, just like when you would go to Cherokee to conduct the Christmas, you know, a tune on the Christmas concert, having high school students get to know some of these college folks can help the high school students to feel if this is a program that they might, feel comfortable with. So almost all of these collegiate music educators are more than happy to come out into the field and meet with you and work with your ensemble. And it's
well,
part of what they're challenged
to do. Reach out to your local music store too.
Sure. No, you're right. We're chock full of educators on our staff. Yeah.
you have so many educators that are now in the music world, you know, road guys, whatever. And they know they've seen it all. So, you know, I think music stores and definitely university directors, those are great places to start. And every university has two or three that are going out and doing clinics and would love to be assisting you in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing too, that I think is important to stress, and I should just make sure this is clear. This is my opinion. But when I look at a program like Kickapoo, you had said earlier about, like, you know, trying to do all the things you do and do them well and with quality, which I think you guys did. However, I would say there's an emphasis. You had an emphasis in that program, from at least from the outside, it was obvious to me, and it makes sense because you've got limited time, you've got limited staff time, you've got limited resources. If you try to do everything equally well, you're just going to lead yourself to a position of frustrated mediocrity unless you have unlimited time, staffing, or budget. But for most of us, that's not the world we live in. So you sort of have to pick, where's an area I want to emphasize? And with Kickapoo, I felt like it was, you know, marching and marching related activities were going to be a focus. And then the other things that you do them with quality. But there was a lot of time spent on those activities. And so I think for people that are in those situations, maybe with smaller staff, reduced budgets, picking the thing that you're going to do that you think you can do well, and it may not be marching for a lot of schools. You know, if you're the sole band director at a really remote school district, and you're also teaching general music and lunchroom duty and car line duty, you know, maybe trying to have this dream of being a BOA competitive 1A band may not be the best use of your time, you know, but you could try to be a great parade band, or you could try to put together a great jazz program or whatever. But I think it's okay to kind of have an emphasis in an area that you either have direct appeal for or knowledge of, or where you just feel like you may have a leg up or an opportunity. And if you're going to do the rest of it, you want to do it with quality, of course. But when you got limited resources, focusing in on something is probably not a bad strategy.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
And that's what we saw. I mean, I think that's how, Kickapoo was able to pull off the results you guys were with such a tiny team of people was, we were kind of focused towards that. You were everything.
That's why
we
called it the dream team.
That's it. That's it.
I would agree with that. I think our limit was the finances. We didn't know how, we were charging a pretty hefty band fee for marching band to do all the travel and the wonderful things that we got to do. Drumline did the same thing, and Color Guard, same thing, jazz band, same thing. There was always some kind of fee to get on that bus and go compete and travel. And I always felt like, okay, one of these years we should do something with the concert band. But it was like, okay, if we do the national competition, let's say, it was going to cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I was just not ready to sacrifice any other part of the program to do that. And again, not to say the concert band, I always thought the concert band was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that I used the concert band program for was to build those fundamentals. You know, how fast can we play the major, all 12 major scales and major minor scales, as well as how much music was in their folders at the end of the year. I felt bad my last year that I was there because we had all this music that was in their folders when COVID hit, and basically we weren't allowed to see the kids and I was already gone. Mm-hmm. And so when they came back and turned all the music in, there was a picture that we took that was all the tunes that were in all the folders. And we had like six huge lunchroom tables in the band room and just tons of tunes on both sides. I don't know what the count was, but it was incredible that, the amount of literature those students were, exposed to every year. Even the freshman band, if they didn't have 20, 25 tunes in their folder, and how many bands can say that?
Yeah.
That they had that much time to develop music. So, money, limited resources. You're right. Spot on with the idea that, you have to have all the elements to make it really successful in every area. But it wasn't that I wasn't thinking about them. They still had a lot of great experiences and we had fun.
Yeah, no, they certainly did. But I think it's a good lesson because most of us or most educators are not going to be at a school like a Broken Arrow or one of those top programs. They're going to be in some other type of program. And the reality is going to be you're going to have to pick your battles and pick where you think you can be successful. And I love that you're doing it with the concert band. I love that idea of like having them read and see lots of music. It helps to kind of offset the stagnasis we get with marching band of, 6-7 minutes worth of music for, so many months. And all right, you're only going to get those few tunes during that time period. But then we're going to chuck a lot of music at you during concert band. Yeah. And you get to play a lot of different things that way.
I think, just thinking about the young director again, you have to know your performance area too. There's a lot of schools around here. And I just heard this from a parent that was, I won't say the school, but very influential in the Springfield community, works here in Springfield. And his point was he watched the show mid-September and never went again because it was the same show. He always went and got his hot dog because it was the same show. And he was the guy that was brought up where he was in a marching band that every 2 weeks it was a new show, two new tunes, the drumline would learn something new. And that's the way, I grew up that way in Kirksville, Missouri, that we had a new show every 2 weeks. And I think one year we kind of had the same show, but it morphed into about two or three other things by the end. And I know that a young director that ends up saying, we're only going to do this one thing could end up biting them in the butt if they're not careful, because they may have complaints from the people they're performing for. So make sure you know your audience is really, really important. And there's ways around that too. With Kickapoo, we tried to do, at least early in the season, the first and second movement. And then we try to focus on the third and fourth as we got mid-season. And nobody saw the whole show usually until we got to the second to last game, or, you know, we would try to always insert something pop wise in there as well. Michael Jackson's Thriller, Halloween always is a winner. We always did the patriotic stuff, the Armed Forces on Parade, right at the end of the season to honor our veterans and service members. So there's all kinds of things that you can do to make it work. And we try to do a balance, because I know I heard that complaint, not from the same person, but when I was at Kickapoo, you know, people in the audience, do you guys ever learn anything different? I'm like, come help us do rehearsal and manage all these kids. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll get a better understanding of it then, for sure. Well, there's something to be said for refining and improving the quality of something. I mean, sure, back in the day, you would do a different show every 2 weeks, but those shows were not anywhere near the complexity of the shows we do today. So it's a whole different type of art form of what we're doing today.
And there's a lot of value and merit to both ends. And I agree. Seen both. You know, the people that focus on that highest level of achievement and excellence from beginning to end, and they get there. And that's something students really have pride, and that sense of accomplishment will carry through the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Students that have gone through the program where you're switching all the time, well, they can pivot.
Right.
And I think that there's merit to both. And I think you just have to know what your principal wants. And we haven't talked about that, but you know, sometimes your principal has a little influence, and your superintendent as well. Figuring out where you are and how you fit and how the band fits, that will help guide your vision, if you will, of how you're going to implement your band program and develop your culture.
Well, I think you're spot on with that. You know, you want your vision for your program needs to also reflect the vision that the community and the district wants to see for your program. And if those things aren't harmonious, then you're going to just have a lot of conflict, and it's going to be a very frustrating situation. And so, you know, trying to do high competitive show in a community that doesn't value or support that, and in a district that doesn't value and support that, you're just going to have lots of conflict. And so knowing what your community wants and your administration would support, and what your vision of values are, and making sure that those are harmonious, I think is probably a really important consideration.
Absolutely.
Certainly, if someone was to follow in a program where it's been a very competitive program and a very successful program, and if that person had a different vision for what they wanted to see out of the program, you could run into some issues and conflict there, and likely would run into some conflict there, unless by some bizarre reason the community wanted to see a change, which usually they don't. They usually want to see continuation of the things they've done. And I also agree with you that you're right, that just because we get a lot of attention to BOA type marching bands and things like that, and certainly those things get a lot of visible, you know, people are, it's very present in front of a lot of eyeballs. That doesn't mean it's the thing that everybody should do. And there's a lot of value in other styles of marching band and other activities that don't involve having to march and play at the same time or to try to do that level of show. But knowing what it is that you want and what your community wants and doing those together, to me, that's where real strength lies.
For sure. There's no doubt.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about Drury. So, you know, Drury is a private school here in Springfield, a private university in Springfield, was kind of known for their music therapy program. And I think also maybe, if I remember right, piano, but not necessarily like music education, that are instrumental music education wasn't what people necessarily thought of them for. Also known for some very good like athletic programs, nationally ranked women's teams and championship men's teams in the past too. So really strong programs there. You got this position as what's your official title at Drury?
I was hired to be the director of the marching and athletic bands.
Gotcha.
And they had not started. They didn't have a football team. They didn't have a marching band. And I was brought in just to start that side of the program. The university's on a quest right now to basically create more things for students to do. Intramural sports, they're bringing more activities in, more groups. A lot of universities, this goes against the grain at a lot of universities. When you pick your degree, you're on that track and that's what you get to do. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You can't deviate. Drury, on the other hand, is really open to students being involved in a lot of different things, and they try to accommodate everything that they possibly can to do that. And so starting a marching band, we started a marching band recruiting over the summer a year ago and ended up with 40 students that first year. And to me, that was an accomplishment in and of itself. Mm-hmm. To do that, because this was still during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to know that this many students had signed up, we had 10 color guard kids. We had 6-7 percussionists, and the rest were horns. You know, there was never, you know, all, it was fairly balanced, but it was our first year trying something new, and they're letting me do it again. So I'm super excited. Our recruitment's up and our retention is good. So I feel really good about that. We didn't get to do any live performances with an audience other than we did a couple of pop-up performances on Drury Lane and outside. We always had a group of parents that would show up. We had every single time we performed, a student would say, "Hey, can I join your band?" And it was just like, "Yeah, come on over." So it was so magical, first of all, to be doing this last year, just thinking of the circumstances that we were in. The pet band, the Banthers, which you used to direct, you and Belinda.
I was going to say, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that you followed someone who was pretty spectacular. Well, I had the pleasure of getting to lead the Banthers, which was the basketball, the athletic band, for 3 years. I took over for Chris Warbaugh, and who I think took over for Mike Brown. And I, oh my gosh, it was some of the most fun I've ever had. It's the exact amount of band directing that I was perfectly suited for, you know, like no administration. I didn't have to really deal with any of that. I didn't have to deal with parents. I just dealt with college kids. And at that point, we had a lot of community members that would participate as well. And we get to play a lot of loud, fast, and high music. And I could switch between bass guitar and trumpet, played mellophone for the first time in the Banthers. I remember my brother and sister-in-law had come to visit, and we didn't have any mellophone players. So I went back to the back, grabbed a mellophone, and came out and was trying to figure out the partials and then just started playing it. And my brother said, "I didn't realize you could play the mellophone." I was like, "I can't. I've never played a mellophone until today." But like just getting that experience to do all that was so much fun. And then, you know, my wife played in it and kind of co-led the band with me. That was a real treat. And then Caleb also performed in the band. I just loved it. And when they decided to make that position full time, I was really upset, just or not like angry, but just sad because I enjoyed it.
You hate
it. And then when
me.
They mentioned that it was going to be you, I was like, "Oh, well, that's fantastic. Like, at least something's going to happen with it." So I was happy for the kids and for the university, even if it meant that, you know, I had to lose my favorite toy to play with.
Well, I'm still optimistic that we'll still have a lot of community, and you're always welcome to come back and play bass, mellophone, trumpet, trombone, yes, whatever you want to play.
Oh, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
The alumni are so excited about being live in person at games this next year. And the Banthers has always been an integral part of that. We are going to add a full complement of battery. Hopefully our battery members are going to actually do some, you know, anytime you have drums playing in a gym, it creates a groove. It creates another level of atmosphere. So we're hoping to be able to do some of that along with all the other tunes that are in the Banther folder, which, you know, they're all pop tunes and they're fun to listen to. Again, you're playing for the Drury Panthers, and there are two nationally ranked teams usually on any given year. So we're excited about that and the potential to travel with those two ensemble or those two athletic groups is a plus as well. So I'm super stoked. The kids are excited about all the potential next year.
It's a lot of fun to do it. And I, you know, both Blaine and I took a lot of pride in the fact that we always had good players and bands that during our time that was there, and that even after our tenure came to an end, and there's this gap obviously with live performance because of COVID, but we've had so many of our former players reach out to us and say like, hey, do you know if we're going to be able to participate in the Banthers again? Like, I don't know, but I hope so, because like we really enjoyed it and they enjoyed it as well. And I think it's both a testament to the university and like the quality of the sports organizations. And gosh, we would just so often have players or coaches come up to us and thank us, because that was one of the things that Blaine and I got engaged with, is like, we want the band to be part of the Spirit organization. We want to work hand in hand with cheer and dance and all be a part of that. And the team just really appreciated that. I did even like interviews with a couple of the athletes, and we'd have coach. I remember one of the women's coaches came up and he had asked if he could get a Banther jersey. And I was like, oh man, like we'd be honored by that. Like, absolutely. And so we got him a Banthers jersey, and he would wear it to like practices and other stuff. And I don't know, it was just really a lot of fun to be a part of. And we're looking forward to participating and being a part of it again. So tell me a little bit about, cause you're, you know, when they first posted this job, I remember meeting with the dean to try to find out, so what exactly does the college marching band look like when there's no football team? And he wasn't quite sure. He was hoping that whoever they hired would know what that was like. So what's your vision with that kind of the outdoor side, or I should say outdoor, but maybe the moving and performance side of that program? What's your vision for that to be without, you know, an obvious connection with the football team halftime performance type stuff? What is this ensemble going to perform? What are those future opportunities look like?
Well, I hope, like the Banthers, I hope that the marching band becomes that same kind of thing that can, it fits in any athletic opportunity that exists. We're planning on doing a small marching band, many, you know, like two tunes, limited movement, but a lot of high energy sounds like the Banthers. So hopefully, you know, like the energy that you just shared with me is the same thing we want to create with the marching band. And even during the fall, I had so many students just come up to me and say, I love being able to get together and play, and you make it so fun. And that's been the goal. Competitive BOA, that's all behind me, and we're just out to be an extra spirited group on campus. Our plans for this coming fall, we're going to do, I could probably list everything we're doing, but we're going to do a soccer event, it looks like. We're going to do a couple of other alumni events on campus. We're doing the Springfield Cardinals last game, I believe, of the season national anthem. You know, that'll be a lot of great exposure for the kids. Mm-hmm. Since last year. That will be one of the first things we do, along with they do fireworks if they can get fireworks. I heard there's some kind of shortage now for the opening day ceremonies at Drury as well. So we're going to try to plug in some events on campus as we find those. Again, all our fall sports were in the spring last year. And I keep looking on the calendar. I've called Corey and asked him, okay, how's this all going to work? Are they all going back to the fall again? And he's like, well, we're moving these back. And so the calendars haven't been set yet, but right. We're going to try to do maybe some volleyball events, some different things that marching bands don't do, but pep bands do, but we're going to do it with the marching band. So it'll be a lot of fun.
So it sounds almost like an indoor winds type ensemble where there's motion and music, but an ensemble that's versatile enough that could be outside or inside. Is that right? Like we could be outside on a soccer field, or we could be inside in a volleyball court, which I guess is a basketball court. But is that kind of the idea? And then both ensembles,
yeah, I would, with motion. It's definitely a Swiss Army knife kind of band. It would.
It's clever.
Be able to do a lot of different activities and. Again, be able to adjust and pivot to whatever venue it is. Again, we're going to put a little bit of weight on our front ensemble, which we will have. Last year, we just focused on the Battery. Now we're going to add a couple of frontline members, and hopefully from there, that will help us fill out the band as well with a synth player and a keyboard player, and hopefully, you know, just be able to do a lot more fun things that are energetic to the atmosphere of an athletic event. Plus, we'll do other things around the campus. We're talking about doing a parade down Drury Lane. They're actually building a new business building. Hopefully, we'll be part of that when it opens as well. So, a lot of activities just are in the works, and hopefully, we'll make that come to fruition here this next year. I'm excited. It's been a lot of fun. The other part of my job, though, has been I am now the conductor of the Wind Symphony, which is, I thought I was going to lose that ability to be a band director. And It's one of my favorite parts of being a band director is conducting the Wind Symphony. And, you know, even though we were spread out, all the woodwinds were up in the audience and the brass and the percussion were on stage, we still made it work last year. We could never have anybody live, but we actually recorded some tunes and we just had fun playing literature. And again, a great way for all of us to get together. Music's such an important part of everybody's life. And again, most of the students are not music majors. Like you said, our largest, I think we had 55 music therapy students last year. The instrumental side is not that big. Our choral side is fairly large. But the bulk of the marching band are non-majors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say 45% of the Wind Symphony is a non-major. So I feel really good about, you know, the mix. And again, that's what Drury is all about, is trying to get people from all the different realms on campus and to be a part of our organization. It's awesome. We're having a blast doing it. And I think giving the kids a lot of opportunity, even though they may only be in the marching band or the Wind Symphony, or, you know, there are a few that are doing everything. I just don't know how they're doing it. I mean, it's a lot of time and commitment, but they love playing their horns and drumming. And our color guard, there's another example of a group that actually did a lot this last year. They participated in MCCGA virtually. They practiced three times a week and recorded their videos, and a couple of them did solos and did really well. So again, there's an opportunity for everybody at Drury. It's just finding which you want to do and hopefully just keep playing your horn. And that's what's so important, because that's part of who we are as humans. And I think it's so fulfilling. You know,
yeah.
I felt your excitement when you were talking about the Banthers and being able to play. I feel like when students are able to do that, and there's just that desire to do it again. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that we can continue to build our culture at Drury, which again, this is a brand new culture, and grow from that. The Banthers had a culture, and we're going to keep that going as soon as we have the opportunity to have fans again, which is going to be this fall. So.
Well, and it's so great, like you said, for kids that are in college to be able to continue to play, even if it may not be their major. And I assume also there's, you know, even maybe less rehearsal requirements than there might be if you're in like the Pride at Missouri State or something, where they rehearse 5 days a week and, you know, month-long band or 2-week-long band camps and everything else. Like, that's such a major, major time commitment. But the nice thing about the offerings of Drury is, you know, you can kind of pick and choose things you do and probably don't have quite that much that is invested to do it. If you want to be a part of the marching band, it's, you know, you're not having to spend maybe the time that goes into it at some of the other places, which is a significant time commitment, like at Missouri State, for example. But you still get to have a lot of fun and have the friends and the association and playing your instrument, which is just fantastic.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
Anything that we can do to keep people playing longer after high school, I think, is near and dear to my heart. I just had a quick conversation with John Zastabil from Missouri State at MBA. We're going to try to get together about some ideas I have about how to help with that. But it's long been one of the things that's most disheartening to me is how many students or people who used to play in high school and don't play any longer. And most of them didn't stop playing just because like they didn't like it. It's just the opportunities weren't very clear. And I can see how that might happen, you know, when one is beginning their adult life. how you might get kind of tied up and busy with beginning a career, maybe even starting a family, and how playing music might take a small hiatus. But you'd love to have something available again for folks to participate in, whether it's various levels of community concert bands, maybe even doing community jazz bands, something like that would be, community orchestra would be great. I don't know about a community marching band. I thought that would have been fun, but after walking up and down the hills at Tantera this summer, I thought maybe my those years have passed me in terms of playing and marching at the same time.
Isn't it funny that BOA is going to do an all director marching band this next year at the Rose Parade?
I can't wait to see it. I can't. That's going to be fun.
I thought about doing it, but I thought that's one of the longest parades there is in the country.
Walking alongside your band for that stuff, having to do that and play at the same time, even
that's
more
one
hard.
Thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, I agree. I think that keeping people playing, you know, even after college, and I've tossed around the idea of, you know, we are great at college at keeping lists of who's graduated from our programs and who's our alumni. And in my mind, I want to send out an email to every one of our alumni and say, hey, on this date, we're going to do an alumni concert band. Or, you know, I just think that there's some opportunities there for us to reconnect with, you know, Drury alumni, and actually their former passion, hopefully still is their passion of playing their horns. I know you play in the Four States concert band, and there's so many opportunities. You may have to drive to get to some of them, but there are a lot of great opportunities to keep your chops up. And, you know, again, the Banthers, we're open to anyone. So if you want to be a part of our pep band, and the potential for travel would be amazing.
Well, and that's a great opportunity. I always told people that playing in the Banthers is a really good opportunity to work on the higher, faster, louder side of your playing. Maybe not a lot of nuance, not a lot of dynamic control and stuff like that, but a lot of chance to do everything else. And, you know, I know for me, I've, you know, been working in these last 25 years to keep my chops in shape so that if my college ever does an alumni band, which they used to do when I was in school, and I'd hear these guys that would come in and play, and a lot of them, like, you know, kind of didn't have to keep their chops together. So I was like, that's not going to be me. So I've been diligently practicing keeping my chops together, and it doesn't seem like they're ever going to do an alumni band.
Well, maybe I need to make you an honorary alumni of Drury University. And then...
You know, you say that, like, I think that's one of the reasons that Belen and I always enjoyed our experience at Drury, because we went to University of Tulsa, which was kind of a similar program. I think TU had a little bit more robust music education department, with Ken Grass was there as the director of bands, a marching band director, and longtime Broken Arrow director, and just a tremendous man and tremendous mentor for both myself and Belinda, but still small private university. We felt there was a lot of kinship there. And so Drury to us felt very comfortable, of something that we were very comfortable with. And of course, all the people there were great. And just a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. It's been a wonderful time just chatting with you. I love talking to people, and I think I love music more than I could ever explain.
I totally understand. I mean, this is obviously, both of us have built our careers on it and done it in different ways, but still some way that we want to be tied into it. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else. Even at the times, I'd have times in my life, so being, I'm 46 now, I'd have times where I'd start to feel kind of burned out. And after a lot of introspection, I'd realized I'm not burned out on my career. I'm just getting burned out on working. So those, because I start to think, like, what else would I rather do? Like, nothing. There is nothing I could think of that I'd rather do. Okay, then maybe I just need to take a vacation. I just need a break, because, like, I never look at anything else and go, boy, that field looks a lot of fun. I mean, being a musician, being involved in what we get to do is just super rewarding and a lot of fun. And the people that we associate with are never dull.
No.
There's never a dull moment when you're in the music field, for sure.
You know, I find it interesting that you say that about working too hard. I shared with you that Sherry and I took a vacation, but it was interesting. I went to the CBDNA small bands and marching band symposium, which was online for the second year in a row. And I'd say they had four or five clinics or sessions that were on mental health. And then I go to MBA and they had two sessions on, you know, the mental health of a band director and how to keep your mind in the right place and the right frame. I think that's so important. And finding that outlet or some hobby or something that you can do just to step out of the world for a minute and enjoy life. So,
Well, and that's one of the things I love about MBA. And of course, that was just a couple of weeks ago. So anyone listening that didn't go, go ahead and put it on your calendar for next year. But that chance to not only get to hear some great sessions and workshops and hear some music and stuff, but man, there's just so much time to just converse and hang out. You know, I think one of my favorite things are every night the reception after the concert and getting to stand out on the deck at Margaritaville and just talk with all kinds of other educators. And there's just pods of them. And there was a kind of a first year teacher pod this year with a lot of newer teachers kind of got in a group together, and there was sort of the mid-career groups and then post-career groups and a women's band director, you know, click. And it was just neat to kind of like float around each of those things and be a part of those conversations and get to meet people and to strengthen relationships. I had people at the end of it come up and say, you know, that they really felt like they've made a real friendship and connection with me and Belinda. And we'd feel the same way. And it just feels so great to get that kind of deep connection with someone in a way that you can't do by just seeing them at a contest or whatever and kind of waving and saying hi and bye, talking to each other at auditions and things like that. Like a chance just to spend a few days together at the bar and getting to know one another.
Well,
it's so great.
You mentioned this earlier, everybody's on their own island basically, or silo, that this is the best opportunity. This is your boat off the island for a few minutes.
Yep.
To make sure that you're, you know, doing all the right things. And I think both MMEA or if you get the chance to go to Midwest or one of my longtime goals has been to do TMEA or TBA in Texas, just to see that that's a whole nother world. And hopefully someday soon I can do that. So I think connecting with people is so vital to what we do and learning from each other. And if nothing else, just having a friendship or somebody to talk to. And again, sharing a beer, there's nothing wrong with that. We can say that.
That's right. We're all adults
At least
here.
I can now that I'm a jury.